following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 67 for Monday, November 1st, 2010. Chatty Cathy. Hello, everyone. Happy Halloween.
It's after Halloween.
Oh, no, wait, that was yesterday.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you didn't tune into the Melting Pot yesterday on Mushroom FM for the Halloween special, you missed out.
Quite the comments over some of your musical selections.
Yes, precisely. Oh, but it was so much fun. And some of those selections were inspired by your
sick
own
mind.
Thoughts. And one of them in particular by your very sick mind.
But it's not that sick.
No, it's not a sick. It's not a sick or anything. It's just, ooh, who would have thought of it?
Or if it counts as a sixth sense.
No.
No?
No, no. Anyway...
tried to play on words. That didn't quite work too well.
If you want to find out what sorts of creepy selections I picked for the Melting Pot last night, go to mushroomfm.com/meltingpot and you can download the podcast.
And hopefully we will get it up on our feed later this week.
Yeah.
We're a couple behind, unfortunately, but I hope to get those up there.
Yeah, we'll get it up there by the end of the week, but it'd be better if you went to mushroomfm.com and downloaded it from there.
Not really.
Yeah, it would.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Faster.
Hmm. Okay.
That's what I mean by better.
Oh.
They get it faster.
Oh, if you say so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Probably be Christmas by the time we get it up, right? That's what you're saying?
Possibly.
Hmm.
Put it this way. If they went there now to download it, they would get it within 10 minutes. If they waited for us to upload it, they probably wouldn't get it until Thursday.
That's probably true.
So just to put it into some perspective.
Yes. Because we're lazy and slow. That's
all
what you're
right.
Saying.
Let's move along.
We will stop the banter, as it were.
Let's talk about Mozilla Firefox.
Yeah.
Or rather, Fire Sheep.
Yeah. Last week we had reported on Fire Sheep, and it was thought to not be as drastic of a problem as it has actually turned out to be. Fire Sheep is a extension that you can download for Firefox that you can snoop on people on your wireless network, or mm-hmm. a public wireless network, that is. So if you go, say, to Starbucks, you can actually see the people sitting around you. It'll bring in a picture. It will actually allow you to pretend to be them by using the cookies.
Mm-hmm.
So what this exploit does, which is no secret, it's been out there. It's just not this easy to do usually. When you go to a website, you might log in with HTTPS, but a lot of times it will do your login, give you credentials, give you a little cookie on your system, and mm-hmm. then you can continue to go about the site. You know, so if Facebook didn't have their pages open, then you would most likely need to type in your password every single time you went from one screen to the next screen.
Right.
So it says, oh, okay, I've got your session, you're here, we trust you, blah, blah. Well, Fire Sheep allows the person to see that you're there, see that you're on Facebook, and then they can actually impersonate you by taking control of that cookie. So mm-hmm. you're logged in, I could be logged in and be posting on your wall or getting information from you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely not a good thing. Steve Gibson of GRC.com, makers of the wonderful program SpinRite, which is not accessible because it is a DOS program from way back. He has a netcast on the Twit network. So if you go to twit.tv.
Okay, long sentence, long sentence.
You can hear episode 272, which goes into much greater detail on Fire Sheep.
Steve Gibson said.
Well, I'm trying to fill it in. You're getting a little nitpicky here.
Hurry it along.
But anyway, Steve Gibson pointed out that if you go to a Starbucks or a coffee shop or a bookstore and they have an open Wi-Fi spot, meaning that you can just log on without actually having to put a password in,
mm-hmm.
you should inform them that they really need to turn on their WPA encryption so that they require a password. Mm-hmm. So like you said, if you want it to be free and open, just specify that it's Barnes & Noble is the password.
Right.
Or Starbucks is the password, because it's going to encrypt every single one of those sessions that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it takes.
Mm-hmm.
If you are somewhere and you're just using a Wi-Fi network, you probably should be using a VPN client or a paid solution in order to get around the issues.
Or you can convert your cell phone into a hotspot.
Yeah, you could use a Verizon MiFi to get around that, or use one of the cell phones that will actually allow mm-hmm. you to tether. But yeah. If you're at a restaurant or something and they have open Wi-Fi, you may want to point that out, that they just need to turn on WPA and provide a password to everyone, which very easily could be the restaurant name.
Well, what about Internet Explorer?
It does not appear to be an issue with Internet Explorer because of the lack of extensions.
That's what I was thinking. So why not just use Internet Explorer?
Well, you could, but I mean, it is still a problem regardless at websites, because a lot of websites will log you in and then throw you back to an unencrypted page, page.
Okay.
So I believe Amazon used to or still does this, where you log into your account. Mm-hmm. Once you start going shopping, you're back at an HTTP page,
right,
which is not a good thing.
No. Well, Mozilla is not going to be fixing this problem anytime soon, folks.
Well, so they can't really fix it. They did release that they could kill it. They could take it out of Firefox, but it's not a Firefox issue.
No.
So you have to go to GitHub, which is outside of Firefox, and download this, which I believe last Wednesday was up to almost 500,000 downloads for this. So it's making the rounds.
So what is this GitHub thing?
GitHub is a website where people can post open source plugins and such.
So what am I downloading from GitHub if I went there?
You would download the FireSheep. You'd search for FireSheep, and it would take you to a page where you could actually download it.
I'm thinking of a fix for FireSheep.
Well, currently there's not a fix for FireSheep.
That's what I was trying to make clear, that people understood that this was not a Firefox issue and Mozilla is not providing a fix for FireSheep.
Yeah, but as Steve Gibson pointed out, this is a great thing because it will make websites actually be forced to do secure websites. I mean, everything from Twitter to Flickr to Tumblr, all these different websites that are insecure after you log in. So it's going to take a while probably for a lot of these large websites to do that. But once they do, everything will be a lot better. Google did this with Gmail just a few months ago, made their entire site encrypted with HTTPS.
Right. Let's move along. More Firefox news.
Really? Firefox has actually fixed one bug that would allow for a heap buffer, whatever in the heck that is, to overflow and allow for the remote code execution to occur on your computer.
Whoops.
So as of Thursday of last week, they released 3.6.12 and 3.5.14. So you will definitely want to update if you do not have automatic updates set up on your Firefox browser.
There is another bug, Firefox bug, that's targeting older versions of Windows now too?
Yeah, it's kind of like Adobe. There's a lot of news here, which we'll get to. Firefox has a Trojan that is targeting some websites, most notably
Nobel Peace Prize website.
Yeah, it had a piece of PHP code on the page that actually would inject some code and allow the execution of programs on computers. But the key is, it's older computers. It's targeting things like Windows XP and older. It's not affected if you're running Vista, Windows 7, Linux, Mac, or such.
Most people running Windows are running XP.
I know. So in order to get rid of this, you would have to run NoScript in your Firefox browser, which will turn off JavaScript and only trust JavaScript on websites that you are familiar with. But, I mean, who would truthfully think that the Nobel Peace Prize website would not be trustworthy?
Hmm.
Not sure that would be.
Not sure that would, yeah.
So it's a problem, and Firefox does not have a current fix for it.
Oops.
So PHP code combined with JavaScript, not a good thing.
And older Windows machines.
Yes. So if you're running Windows XP, you might want to consider taking that Microsoft Family Pack option and upgrade.
Adobe. We have more, a lot of news for Adobe this week, too. Adobe Acrobat Reader
has a flaw that affects version 9,
mm-hmm.
and it allows for, I guess you could say all of these problems allow for the remote execution of code on your computer.
Right.
This one affects version 9 of Adobe Reader. Doesn't really affect any of the older versions either. It's just version 9, and this will be fixed in November with a release. So that will be something to look for. They also have a problem with Adobe Flash and Reader as well, where PDF attacks are occurring that allows for, again, remote code to be executed, or your computer may crash at random. So that may be something to consider if you are having instability issues. And that also will be fixed by a patch in November.
Yes. Well, Mac, there is a Trojan out there.
It supposedly
is called the Bonanna Trojan.
Yes. It
will come up if you are in Safari on Facebook, and the Trojan will show up in a video. And of course, the link will say, "Is this you?" And you click on the video, and it's pretty standard stuff from there on out.
Yeah, it'll pretty much send personal data that you enter on Facebook out to servers on mm-hmm. the internet. There is not a fix for this at this point, and there has not been any actual sightings or reports of this actually being a problem.
Rumor mill.
Pretty much.
One thing that is not part of the rumor mill is this iPhone 4 alarm bug thing that's been going around.
Yes. The daylight savings change, which is where you either fall back or spring forward, depending on what time it is in the year. Right now, everyone is setting their clocks back an hour in different parts of the world. Australia and New Zealand did it previously. They had the iPhone daylight savings problem. Now Europe is having the same issue, and I believe Arizona just set their time back on Saturday.
They're not a part of the United States.
Yes. I hear it's dry there.
Yeah, I
sandy,
hear so too.
Dry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a desert or something. Mm-hmm. But
you can get around this problem if you have alarms set to every day. But if they're set to any other setting, then you may have a problem.
Yeah. So if you have every Monday, every Tuesday, or every weekday, or every weekend, you may experience or probably will experience the problem. And here in the U.S., we set our clocks back this coming weekend.
So what is it going to do? I mean, is it just going to like go off? And
It will go off an hour late.
Ooh.
So instead of going off at 9 a.m., it will go off at 10 a.m.
Whoops.
So you're going to be late for something.
Oopsie.
And I believe this happened again earlier this year.
I thought Apple was supposed to fix it.
Yeah, I guess it didn't.
Oopsie.
But apparently it does affect iPhone 4 and 3GS.
Mm-hmm. Well, Target is supposed to start carrying the iPhone in November,
yeah,
on November 7th.
It was only time, since seeing as how they started or are going to start selling the iPad.
Yes, soon, I believe.
Yes.
They are going to start carrying that, so whoop-de-doo.
Yes, it'll just, well, it'll
yeah.
target the
oh, yeah.
moms and dads out there that
oh,
don't
yeah.
go to the Apple store or AT&T store.
I did hear that the release date for the white iPhone has been pushed back to even further into 2011.
Yeah, it's going to be the white unicorn.
Ugh.
No one really has a clue as to when it's going to come out,
mm-hmm.
if ever.
If ever.
Reports are now thinking that it's probably never going to come out.
Mm.
I mean, if they're going to release it in the springtime, what's the point? Seeing mm-hmm. as how there'll probably be another iPhone coming out in June.
Wow. Well,
yippee.
Target, in another leap forward to join the next century, is teaming up with Facebook so that you can now take your, essentially all you need is your login information, and you can go to any Target store and log in and print your Facebook photos right there in the store.
Hmm.
And you can do not only photos, but you can make them into greeting cards or, gosh, all kinds of other things, slideshows.
I didn't see if this was actually going to be a better copy of the photo or not. That's the only thing.
I don't know. Maybe it's just
Facebook, when you upload videos or pictures or anything to their site, they actually compress it a lot more. So the pictures are a lot less quality than they originally were, I guess, to save space, seeing as how they have 500 million users.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's going to be better quality or not, but it's going to be at the same kiosks where you get the Kodak pictures printed.
Yes.
So my guess probably is it will be better quality than what you get at home.
Yeah, hopefully.
Who knows? Hopefully.
But in an announcement last week, the Kindle and the iPad now have a little bit more competition with the Barnes & Noble Nook Color.
The Color Reader has come out. It is $249. It has, 8 hours of battery life?
8 hours of battery life if you're not on Wi-Fi, and 8 gigabytes of storage.
Yeah.
If anybody you know is looking for one of these and they go to the Barnes & Noble website, they have to put Nook Color, all one word, no space. Mm. It's kind of a bizarre spelling. I don't get it. N-O-O-K-C-O-L-O-R.
Why not Color Nook?
I don't know. Just makes not a lot of sense.
Anyway, yeah. It's still only $249, which isn't too steep of a price. It has some other integrated Facebook and Twitter features built into it. I'm not sure what they are. And apparently quite a broad-reaching color display. None of the numbers meant anything to me.
Yeah, and you can still get the old version for an unspecified time.
Yeah, for an unspecified time. They don't say when they're going to stop.
Yeah, so most likely they'll hold on to that one too, seeing as how it's the more inexpensive. But in other wonderful news, there is a new tablet out there, and it will be sold at Walgreens.
It is the Meilong M50 Android tablet. It will be sold for $100 at a Walgreens near you.
And it has a 7-inch wonderful screen.
Walgreens?
Yeah, I don't quite get it.
Walgreens, in case some of you who are not listening who are non-U.S. residents, Walgreens is a pharmacy where you buy, like, you know, over-the-counter medicines and things like that.
But it's a 7-inch screen, has a 400 megahertz processor, will have built-in Wi-Fi, and an unspecified amount of flash memory with a micro SD card slot for expansion. The slowness of the processor means that it will probably be slower than your iPhone.
Ooh.
So I don't know how great that's going to be, but for $100, and if you want a touch screen,
yeah, I mean,
might be something to consider, or you might be really telling someone, I really want an iPhone or an iPad, and they see this thing, and you get this instead.
Right.
Now, that exactly. would be a joke.
Yep.
That would be a little bit of a joke. Oh,
that would be hard.
Plus, there's no word as to whether there is any accessibility whatsoever.
Well, so Walgreens, it's Android, so.
Yeah. So Walgreens is doing the same as Kmart earlier in the year. They're going to start selling tablets.
I'm just focused on Walgreens.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I mean, there's a big difference in my mind from a department store to a pharmacy.
But we digress.
On another note.
In a totally different area.
In a different direction, I might add. In a totally different part of the country. Okay, Florida.
Well, it is in the South.
Yeah. In Florida, judges have been issuing jury instructions specifically banning the use of social media and the internet. The instructions simply state that you are not to blog, Twitter, Facebook, look on the web and do research or anything about a case using the internet. Without, of course, talking with the judge first off. Any questions you have need to be asked to the judge. You cannot go and do, you know, stuff on the web to find answers. You can't talk about this case with anyone outside the jury room, outside of yourselves, and you can't talk about it over the internet, blog, Twitter, anything while it's going on.
Now, didn't we have a story not too long ago where a guy looked up a dictionary word?
Yes, that's where this is coming from.
Ah, okay.
That's where this wasn't in Florida, I don't think, but that's where this is all coming from, that, and from other things that have happened throughout the country. In one state, just before a verdict was handed down, somebody posted on Facebook, "Gee, it'll be interesting to see the defendant's face when we find him guilty." And there have been other such instances. In New Hampshire, there was a guy who blogged about a trial while he was on the jury as well. So, Florida is doing this, I guess, in an effort to kind of crack down on this internet craze. And hopefully it will do some good.
And now to some accessibility news, because I know you're just dying for it.
Yes. HIMSS Incorporated. All of you probably have heard of the SenseView and the VoiceSense and the BrailleSense that GW Micro sells. And these note takers and magnifiers are manufactured by HIMSS, a company out of South Korea. And they have been sold by GW Micro consistently over the past several years, and they provide technical support and on and on. However, this company has now gotten a U.S. office, so that now these devices will no longer be sold by GW Micro. They will be sold by HIMSS Incorporated out of Texas. So that partnership will not be continued after, I believe, the next couple months. They're going to stop selling them altogether at GW Micro.
I've seen those mentioned on Twitter quite a bit.
Yeah.
So evidently they are quite popular.
They are very popular and very good. Hmm. And a lot of people are kind of irritated that all of a sudden now GW Micro is going to be stopping selling them.
I wonder if they're going to have a HIMSS and HERS.
Probably not. I think it stands for something. I don't know what. Not sure what it stands for. But anyway, I thought I'd point that out. I'm sure those of you who have these devices will be getting notices in the mail or on the internet about it, but I figured I'd let you know anyway. There is also a new cochlear implant. This really does sound cool. For those suffering with vertigo, this isn't really accessibility news, but for people who suffer from extreme and severe vertigo, to the point where you have to lay on the bed with your hands flat down and lay still for hours, because otherwise you will just collapse and be so nauseated you can't think straight. There is a solution that is being tested in Australia and hopefully will be approved by the FDA soon here in the US. It is a cochlear implant coupled with some electrodes. And what they do is they put the device in the bone of your inner ear. And then I guess one electrode goes on each of your inner ear canals. I guess there are three of them. And whenever you start to feel the vertigo, you push a button on this thing and it will kind of counteract the symptoms. It will help you cancel out that feeling. Those electrodes will stimulate the part of your brain that connects to your ear, I guess, and it'll tamp down the feeling of vertigo so you can at least function. So they've tested this in primates and determined that it is not does not cause any hearing loss or any other effects, and hopefully it'll work on people. It is. It was developed to combat a Meniere's disease, I believe is how you pronounce it, and that is just very, very severe vertigo.
If it would correct like the rocking of blind people, because they say that that is
it's balance related, balance. But that is not vertigo.
Yeah.
So probably not.
Yeah, and anybody that's curious as to what vertigo is, imagine taking medicine or something and getting really nauseous and lightheaded without eating. That's probably the best way to explain it.
Imagine laying on the bed, but that you feel like you're falling and spinning even though you're laying down. So you have no sense of...
Oh, so it's like college students that had too much to drink.
Exactly.
Ah, now I got it.
Exactly.
That's probably more accurate to people.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably get that now.
So if you drink maybe 2 12 packs of beer, you might be in that range.
Yeah. Well, let's move along after our overly verbose description of vertigo there.
Yes, we have a little clip that we're going to play concerning the new Linux Unity version of software that is going to come out soon, that is going to be a version 11.4 of Ubuntu Linux.
Ooh.
In the long listing of podcast last week, mm-hmm. I ran across this on the Tech News Today podcast, which you can hear on the Twit Network. If you go to twit.tv/TNT, it's where Tom Merritt from former Buzz Out Loud went. And this clip is with he and Patrick Beja, and it's basically having a caller who is pointing out the fact Unity has accessibility issues.
All right. We have one other caller who called 260-TNT show with a pertinent question about Ubuntu's Unity interface.
Hey, Tom and TNT crew. Tom, you mentioned the new Ubuntu desktop Unity yesterday and talking about how that was going to be a great addition to Ubuntu. Being a blind Linux user, the new Unity desktop is not going to be good. It's breaking the accessibility within the Linux desktop, and us blind people are going to be left out of being able to use the Ubuntu desktop. Thanks. Love the show.
That is a very good point. And so I did a little searching and found Luke Yelovich, who's a developer for accessibility on Ubuntu, and said, yes, Unity in its current form does not have much in the way of accessibility. It doesn't even have keyboard navigation to move around the environment, let alone assistive technology support. However, for the 11.04 release, I will be working very closely with the Unity developers to implement accessibility and keyboard navigation support, so much so that it will be my primary focus for this cycle. I will also attempt to address any other accessibility issues we need to fix, like the installer, if I get the time. So this is another one of the things I love about open source and open development is you can find the guy whose job it is to push for that concern that you have and talk to him on a forum like this one at FossPlanet.com and get a direct and honest answer. It's pretty cool. And hopefully it means that they'll develop accessibility so that Ubuntu will be able to have that same kind of accessibility that they should and still switch to the Unity platform.
Awesome. Go Ubuntu.
And so we thought that that would be very useful to some of the listeners.
Yeah. Those of you who use Linux, you might want to know. Unity has its problems for the time being. You might want to not. Well, you might want to wait to install it.
Before starting some sort of a flame war on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. But no flame wars.
No. That seems to happen a lot. I'm noticing that more and more.
Yep. Recently in Delaware, a possible kidnapper was foiled in the attempt when he pulled up outside a middle school, tried to abduct a girl, and she put her iPod Touch to her ear and told him she was calling the police.
Yeah, the 12-year-old did this, making it look like she was making a call, said that she was calling the police, and he fled away thinking that it was indeed an iPhone, which is a good thing because they kind of look the same.
Yep. So that is a good thing. Very resourceful of her, I might add.
Yeah, so that might be something to point out to kids when saying, do not talk to strangers. What were you thinking?
All moms beware, if you use Facebook, you may be asked for a timeout. A group of women who have formed a group on Facebook, Facebook Moms. I don't know what the name of the group is, but they all
probably
have
probably the Chatty Cathy Society.
I don't think so, but they are really Chatty Cathys. They have a lot of young children. They talk about raising their kids. Many of them have been required by Facebook security to go through a bunch of hurdles, like temporary suspensions of their accounts, solving multiple CAPTCHA messages, etc., because they post too many messages on Facebook. A couple have even been threatened by Facebook that their accounts would be deleted if they continued to post with such frequency.
Well, it's a built-in feature of Facebook sort of look for spam and try to keep you from spamming other users if you use Facebook and Mafia Wars and other games on there, or sending cards and birthday cakes and things back and forth. You might get red flagged on there just because you're sending too many messages too quickly.
Right.
I know when I was doing the Farmville thing for a period of time, if you selected a whole bunch of people to be your friend, if you exceeded 20 in an hour or something, you would be red flagged or warned, you know. And then I think even if you pushed the limit of it, you could actually get suspended for 24 hours or something.
Yeah.
So I guess they're just spending too much time.
Yep. It happens. I mean, this all started happening with greater frequency when people were allowed to make portions of groups private. They were allowed to, like, fence off certain portions of Facebook groups and make them private.
Oh.
And this has started happening because they're treating it now more like a chat session, even, I guess, when they're not chatting.
Yeah, because as you have pointed out, my cousin will tweet, will Facebook back to you immediately if you actually tweet. Or
if I put something on Facebook, she's responding to me within 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's a little obsessive. Yeah. I don't find Facebook that useful.
I don't either, but hey, what do I know?
To each their own.
Yep.
And I guess you could say this little terrible, wonderful mess that you've been listening to is Tech Access Weekly,
episode 67.
If you would like to find the articles discussed or considered for this episode, you can head over to delicious.com/techaccess/67. Aha, I get to do it this week. I feel vindicated.
Yes. If you would like to make comments, requests, suggestions, and other paraphernalia, you can do so by email or Twitter, and even by the voice line.
Yes. That nobody ever seems to use.
No.
But, oh well.
That's okay. We'll live.
They're just afraid to talk.
And please feel free to check out our Tech Access Daily Tips. They are becoming quite popular, and we are very pleased by this. I've seen a lot of them being retweeted, which proves that people are finding them useful. And we do deeply appreciate that.
Yeah. And if you have a tip, trick, or tidbit that you would like to get submitted for a tip, please let us know. You can either do this in audio format, or you may submit a written instruction pamphlet or such.
Something you don't very even simple. Have to do a pamphlet. You can just say, demo this, and we'll put something together. You know, if you want to make your own instructions, great. If you want to make your own tip, that's even cooler. We can get you out and get your voice heard.
And we're always looking for tips on NVDA, because we're not experts with that, or anything open source that people might be using to make things more accessible.
Exactly. It can be very simple. And actually, we're looking for real simple things.
Yes.
Just to use as tips.
Yeah, because a lot of times you'll find a keystroke or something that you use all the time, and then you mention it, and somebody goes, wait a minute, you did what?
I did that with you twice last week. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I actually do that with people at work all the time because I use keystrokes and everybody else clicks the mouse or such. And every once in a while I'll hit something and they'll go, wait a minute, what'd you do?
Well, you
How did you make
you
it do
the
that?
Mouse.
Yeah, but I mean, I do mainframe programming. So I do a lot of key commands on the mainframe system. Mm-hmm. And people just don't pick up on those kind of things mm-hmm. that often.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, send us your tips and such.
Yes.
And we'll be
Lord
happy to implement them.
You can't ramble much more than we have.
No. So, on that note, we will say...
Bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at... Twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.